From the KEI Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, experts scramble for answers to what's causing the North Texas quakes. First, to a football weekend that's just getting ready to rumble. The Cowboys will try to avenge the 1967 Ice Bowl when they head to Green Bay for a chilly playoff game on Sunday. A day later, Oregon and Ohio State will face off in the college football championship at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. And there's another title game tomorrow. Bison and Redbirds are gathering in Frisco as we speak for the College Division I championship. North Dakota and Illinois State will fight for the title. The two teams have a little history. They're rivals and co-champions in the Missouri Valley Conference. Tomorrow's game will be the first time in 37 years that two teams from the same league are in that title game. That one kicks off tomorrow at noon at Frisco's Toyota Stadium. Another small earthquake rattled the Irving area today. That makes 16 in the last week. It all prompted a conference call this afternoon among experts and state and local officials. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins hosted the call.
The experts think that if this reaches up into the fours of the Richter scale, given the shallow nature of where these earthquakes are compared to the deeper earthquakes in other parts of the country and the continent, that there could be some structural damage.
Jenkins says unreinforced brick, cinder block, or stone buildings are at the greatest risk. So far, though, no damage. The strongest quake measured a 3.6. Jenkins says seismologists are working hard to try to figure out what's going on. B.J. Austin consulted a couple of experts.
One thought is that the vibration from the implosion of Texas Stadium, which sat above the Balcones Fault, changed the stresses along the fault and that the energy is now being released in the form of minor to moderate earthquakes.
To actually try to connect that to a scientific theory that a vibration really transfers energy about 10 feet into the ground at the most would cause earthquakes hundreds of feet or miles into the ground is really pretty much without merit.
That's Brent Blanchard of ProTech Services in New Jersey. It's an international vibration consulting company and was among several to set up equipment to monitor the Texas Stadium implosion in 2010. Blanchard says his monitors along the river levees about 900 feet away didn't pick up anything from the series of dynamite charges and 6 million pounds of concrete and steel crashing down.
Even the seismographs over top of underground utility lines that were about 60 feet away and running right next to the stadium, those detected minimal vibration. I mean, we're talking on the order of 0.00 something.
Another suspect being talked about, the natural gas well about a mile north of the stadium site. Could natural gas drilling and hydraulic fracturing be the cause of the quake and shake? A study last summer by the U.S. Geological Survey, Cornell, and University of Colorado linked Oklahoma earthquakes not to fracking, but to the wells where wastewater is injected deep into the earth. The nearest such well to the Irving quake zone is more than 10 miles away at the far north end of DFW Airport. Another study published this week by the Seismological Society of America shows a link between fracking and earthquakes in Ohio. Co-author of the study, Michael Brudzinski, says 5 earthquakes were centered half a mile from 6 gas wells. The quakes only happened during the hours the drillers were actually fracking. Fracking at the Irving gas well began before the stadium was imploded and ended in 2009.
It's hard to believe that fracking that took place many years ago would be resulting in an earthquake today.
Brudzinski says earthquake detectives will have to look somewhere else for clues to what set off Irving's swarm of quakes. For KERA News, I'm B.J. Austin.
Last fall, voters in Denton overwhelmingly approved a ban on fracking, and a flurry of lawsuits followed. State Representative Phil King, a Republican from Weatherford, has filed bills that would ban fracking bans. When the Texas legislature kicks off Tuesday, lawmakers promise fracking and Denton's ban will be on the agenda. Jim Malowitz of the Texas Tribune previews the debate.
Denton has become the first Texas city to ban fracking, and there's been a lot of fracking fallout on that. Right now, there's 2 lawsuits that challenge Denton's fracking ban and saying that you're confiscating minerals and you're subverting state power. So that's going on, but at the same time, there are a couple lawmakers, including Representative King, who have said that they want to put forth legislation to basically ban fracking bans. So that's probably going to be discussed, although some of the Denton area lawmakers, including Myra Crownover, have actually said that even though they don't agree with this ban. They say that they're actually not going to be proposing the legislation, and they're going to let the courts decide. It'll be kind of interesting to see if someone like King proposes this legislation and forces them to vote on it, whether they will sort of side with Denton and the will of the people there.
That was Jim Malowitz with the Texas Tribune. Fort Worth photographer Lowly Cantor longed to visit Poland to connect with the homeland of her parents. They were Jews who survived the Holocaust. A decade ago, she took the first of many trips and began capturing the images that would be collected in her current book, Beyond the Forest. Cantor talked to KERA's Ann Bothwell about searching for the Jewish presence in Eastern Europe.
Lowly Cantor, welcome to the KERA newsroom.
Thank you for inviting me.
Your mom died shortly after you were born, and your father died when you were very young. And you credited photos of them with piquing your interest in photography.
I'm just very interested in photographs that are like a witness to something that happened. And I was just very moved by finding pictures of my mother and then finding all these things that my father had kept. And after he died, all these documents and all these things came about. And so I was very interested in it.
Your parents were Jewish, living in Poland during the rise of Hitler.
Right.
How did they survive the war years and the Holocaust?
My mother survived with Aryan papers. She had Aryan papers, which I have, and they are in the book. And my father survived because he was in Russia at the time, and he was in a labor camp. Then he was freed or escaped from the labor camp. It's sort of a story that's a little vague. And he was in the forest with partisans. He basically survived this way.
You decided to go to Poland in 2004. So how did the book evolve?
I think now in 2015, people know that their Jewish life is coming back. But when I started, it was just coming back. So I visited again and kind of strengthened the bonds with the place and kept photographing, you know. And at the time, I also talked with this coordinator, told her that I want to try and find living communities that never left. She had some contacts in Ukraine, and she told me that she can get me to Ukraine. Smaller towns, what's called the shtetl, these little villages. And I was interested in visiting survivors, homes, seeing places that are important, and documenting that.
Your photos have a real sense of history in them, but at the same time, they can also evoke the idea of time marching on, time passing on.
It was actually a very time-sensitive project because many of the people are dying and some are already gone that are in the photos. Time is the center in my work.
It's interesting, too, to me how time can march on, but history stays with you in unexpected ways.
Yeah, I sometimes try to fight it because sometimes I wish I didn't think so much about the past. I don't want to think so much about the past, but I can't help it. It's really a huge part of who I am, and these people represent that. They represent the family that I could have had. They may have looked differently, but these are people that survived, and some people in my own family didn't.
Lowly Cantor, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you.
To see images from Lowly Cantor's book, Beyond the Forest, visit artandseek.org. For the evening, it should be mostly cloudy with a cool low around 24. Tomorrow, cloudy with a high near 37. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a chance for freezing rain and a low around 33. It's currently 37 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 40 in Tyler, 31 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.